Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it is news chew time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me, as always, is the Wendy to my Peter Pan. That one wasn't very good, Ben. I'm sorry. I'll be Wendy. Is that fair?
That works. I mean, people will still get the reference.
Yeah, it's okay. But, you know, basically what it means is I couldn't defeat a 30-year-old pirate without you.
I'm the abbot to your Costello?
Yeah, that's much better. That's actually probably more appropriate than what I said.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But anyways, we're already off to a terrible start, and that's I put that on myself, Ben. What's going on, Ben? How's Ohio? Smell good?
Well, it's actually been fairly cool the past week. Yesterday was the first day we had to really turn the air on in about, as I think, since last Sunday. Mm. Today it was storming quite a bit. Sort of still is, but it's mainly died down.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, it's been okay. I'm officially now counting down the days that I have left of freedom before my senior year of college begins.
Oh, boo-hoo. And then you'll never have countdowns to ends of freedom again, because it will all be prison, Ben.
Yes, it will.
The real world is nothing but prison. That's not that bad. It's okay.
Yeah.
Just bills. It's just bills. That's what sucks about being a grown-up is bills. Everything else is wonderful, but bills are bullshit. So, anyways, Ben, I've been very busy this week because my wife comes home from Idaho after 8 weeks today, so I've been very busy cleaning and doing stuff. But I did set aside my Wednesday night to watch Sharknado 2, the second one. Now, before you scoff, let me tell you, I love terrible movies. I love all movies, but I love crappy movies because you can actually make a good, crappy movie. Does that make sense, Ben, when I say that?
I think I know what you're getting at, but
sure.
Yes, so sure, let's go with yes.
Sometimes when you're making a bad movie, you just know that it's a bad movie. And when you allow your actors to make the decision for themselves whether to take it really seriously and just buy into it or not, or phone it in, really determines if the movie works or not. The Sharknado movies may be horrible and really terrible, but goddammit, the actors commit themselves to the bullshit that they are spouting out of their mouth. And I will give them all the credit in the world for that. Beverly Hills 90210 and the wax statue that used to be Tara Reid were wonderful, playing terrible, terrible actors and just regular people caught in a second Sharknado. I will tell you, Ben, that there were sharks on a plane, but Sam Jackson did not make a cameo, which was surprising, because almost every other person on Earth was in that fucking movie.
Even Mark Wahlberg?
You know, Mark Wahlberg probably was in there somewhere, or at least someone off of the Wahlberg family tree. Al Roker was in there. Jared the Subway guy was in there. Kelly Osbourne was in there. I can't think of the actor's name now. Some guy from the show Taxi. It was just ridiculous. There were so many cameos, and I couldn't take it. And you know, Ben, here's the only complaint that I have about Sharknado 2. I give it 4 out of 5 stars. The only complaint that I have about it is that I waited for Mark McGrath to get eaten by a fucking shark for that entire movie. Ben, do you know who Mark McGrath is?
I have no idea.
Oh, my fucking God. Ben, Mark McGrath was the lead singer of a terrible band called Sugar Ray that was very prevalent during my adolescence. They sing such hits as I Just Want to Fly, Someday When My Life Has Passed Me By, I'll Sit Around and Wonder Why. Anyway, other songs. He then was the host of Entertainment Tonight for some reason. He's the weirdest looking dude I've ever seen because he looks like a 50-year-old teenager. When I say that, what I mean is that his face looks old, but his hairstyle and choice of dress makes him look like a teenager. It's very off-putting. I can't... Anyways, I waited that whole movie for that asshole to get eaten by a shark. Never happened. Very disappointing. And Vivica A. Fox was in there, and she's too good for that. I don't know what happened. I don't know what she's doing in crap like that, but that shouldn't be happening.
Well, I never watched the first one, and I don't ever really plan on it. Ben, so I'm glad you enjoyed it, though.
Benjamin, you need to start taking some risks with your movie watching. Ben, what was even the last movie you watched? Yeah, that's kind of what I was afraid of.
Was it Red Dawn? I think it was Red Dawn.
That was the last movie that you watched. That, Ben, that was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, we talked about it, remember?
Yes, I do remember. Wait, but that was before you came here.
Yeah.
So that was not the last movie you watched. The last movie that you watched was here at my house when we watched Sin City.
That's right, yeah. So yeah, Sin City was the last one I watched.
So the last time that you watched a movie was when you were here.
Yeah, I don't watch movies that often.
Months ago. We need to work on that, because a lot of my humor is based off of just movies.
Though I did watch, I don't know if you want to call it a mini-movie or whatnot, but you know the Beastie Boys song, Fight For Your Right?
Sure, I'm familiar.
In 2011, they made, like, a music video that was, like, a 30-minute thing of, like, it revisited. And it had Elijah Wood, Seth Rogen, and Danny McBride starring as the Beastie Boys.
Mm.
And they had, like, this battle against the future Beastie Boys, the future themselves, which was Will Ferrell, Jack Black, and, I can't think of the third guy's name.
That's not surprising to me that you can't think of the third
guy. No, I know who he is.
I'm sure you do.
He's in Step Brothers with Will Ferrell.
John C. Reilly.
Yes. And they had a battle of them. It was interesting. A lot of cameos in that one. Steve Buscemi was in it. Will Arnett, Rainn Wilson. A lot of people were in it. I can't remember all of them. But Adam Scott. But regardless, I mean, it was pretty entertaining. It's on YouTube. So for anybody who wants to, it's called Fight for Your Right Revisited. So anybody who wants to watch it, that's what it's called.
I will watch it. I like all of those people.
I think you would like it. So.
I probably would. But then again, I like a lot of movies. I mean, you know, because I watch them. You know.
I'm not living this.
Are you, Ben, are you going to go see Sin City 2 now that you've seen Sin City? You probably should.
Is that coming out?
Yeah, it's coming out at the end of August. Sin City 2, semicolon, A Dame to Kill For. Just kidding, it's a regular colon. Sin City, colon, A Dame to Kill For is the name of the movie. And it looks very good. I had a huge victory that I'll share with everyone on air. Thanks to past and future guest Nathan Reed, my wife has agreed to go see Guardians of the Galaxy with me, so I'm very excited about that. She has agreed that her liking of Christopher Pratt, who is the lead actor in that, is very great, and so now she will go see Guardians of the Galaxy with me, so I'm jacked about that.
See, that's the thing, as I don't like go to the movies, mainly because it's expensive.
Well,
but,
and I understand that, but...
But, like, I would totally go to the movies with you, but we live two states away, and that's the only time I'd ever go to the movies, so...
Going to the movies with me is an enjoyable experience, because I mock the previews loudly for everyone to hear. Just kidding. That's not true. I have done it, but it's usually not very populated. But, Ben, before we get too tangled in nonsense, I found something this week. And I didn't tell you about it on purpose because I wanted to get your live on-air reaction, but BuzzFeed ripped us off. We play a game on this podcast called Real Headline or Some Shit That I Just Made Up. That's our game. BuzzFeed this week put out a game called Is This Canadian Headline Real or Fake? That sounds suspiciously like a game that I made up, BuzzFeed. But... Be that as it may, Ben, since they went to all the trouble to do this, I thought we should play the game together against each other live. I have not done it yet. You just have to trust me. I have not done it yet. I wouldn't lie to you on air in front of our listeners. I wouldn't lie about it. So let's do it. You ready?
Sure.
Manitoba cat with head stuck in bird feeder continues to elude rescuers. See, they're funny. All right, one more time. Manitoba cat with head stuck in bird feeder continues to elude rescuers.
I'm going to say that's actually something that could happen.
I also feel like that's a very real story. We are correct, Ben. On July 25th of 2014, an on-the-run cat by the name of Butterscotch was wanted in Manitoba. Real story. Story number two. Free cocaine samples handed to youth.
I'm going to call shenanigans on that.
You know what? I'm going to go with real. I don't know why. And, Ben, it is a real story. A group of drug dealers did some guerrilla advertising by handing out free cocaine samples to young folks in Edmonton. Jeez, that's sad, actually, but I, for some reason, felt like that was real.
It's sad, but it's also stupid on the drug dealer's part.
Yeah, it's a bad move. This one is crazy. I can't envision a scenario where this one is real, but Celine Dion serenades to hot poutine. Do you know what poutine is, Ben?
Yeah, I know.
So this headline implicates Celine Dion serenading or singing a love song to a plate of French fries drizzled in gravy.
Yeah, I'm going to call
bullshit. Yeah, I also am going to go bullshit. Yeah, that's fake. Okay, great. Number four. This one made me laugh when I read it the first time. Angry beaver causes traffic delays and panic around New Brunswick town. That's got to be real, right?
Yeah, it's Canada. That has to be real.
Yes, it's real. A very angry beaver was angrily trotting around Miramichi, New Brunswick, this past May. Oh, there's even a picture of him. What a fucking bastard. Oh, see, they're fake. I think the fake ones are kind of obvious so far, because I think this one isn't real either. Rob Ford flaunts new TNA leggings on a morning jog.
Yeah, that's
not real. Yeah. Okay, number six. Outpouring of support for Saskatoon mom who had apples stolen from tree. They say Canadians are way nicer than us, Ben.
I'm going to say that's true.
Yeah, me too, I think. Because they do say Canadians are the nicest people. Yeah, that's real.
Okay, yeah, their version is
Yeah, their
shit.
Version. See, their version isn't even hard. Hold on, let's at least go to 10. There are a bunch of them, but let's just go to number 10. I'm not even keeping score anymore. Let's just see what else they got. Cops under investigation after alleged race to Tim Hortons. Tim Hortons is a restaurant. Apparently cops raced there. I mean, that seems real, right?
I don't know. I'm gonna say shenanigans on that.
I'm gonna say it's real. Yeah, it's real. Two Canadian popos. That's actually in the article, the word popo, like police. Okay, number eight. Woman annoyed by deer ringing her doorbell. Now that's a cool headline. I think I'm going to go with real again because it doesn't sound too as ridiculous as some of the other ones.
I'm going to go false.
No, that one's real. See, there.
You're kidding
no,
me.
See, the real ones, you can tell which ones are fake. Number nine. Canadian man sorry for chugging 8 beers and swimming to Detroit.
That's false. Unless he's like...
I mean, he might have tried. That one seems super fake to me. No, that one is real. Canadian man sorry for chugging 8 beers and swimming to Detroit. That actually happened. Okay. All right. They got me that time. Number 10. Last one. Friends win lottery, accidentally blow up house during crack-fueled celebration. Well, that just sounds like Florida. That wouldn't happen in Canada.
It does sound like Florida in every aspect of that state.
I mean, that's probably right. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Nope. Fake. That is fake. Oh, all right. Well, it got
better. If you're out of Florida, now, if it was Florida, whether or not it's true or not, I think that'd be true.
So, yeah. Anyways, so they stole my game, but they're terrible at it. BuzzFeed, if you want somebody to do that game right, holler at your boy. I got mad skills at some shit I just made up.
Yeah, you motherfuckers can't take our stuff.
Word. I mean, you can. You gotta pay. That's
no, they can't. Unless they give us royalties.
Yeah, exactly. They just gotta pay. Speaking of pay, let's take a break and have a word from our sponsor. Nope. It could be you. Call Ben at... No. I'm just gonna start giving out your cell phone, Ben, on the air for months.
Oh.
Just kidding.
Well, as long as it gets us views and listeners, I
guess.
There
you go. Who knows?
Which, by the way, before we started, we did have new countries this week.
Oh, give me the new country list breakdown before we go on.
Well, we saw a return from Russia.
Great. They love us in
Russia. A return from Belgium.
Okay.
and the United States, obviously.
Of course.
We had two, well, one country and one, I don't know if it's a country or if it's just like a, I don't know what it is.
Principality.
Spain. Spain.
Uh-huh.
And Hong Kong.
Oh, no, Hong Kong's a, wait. Yeah, Hong Kong's a country, right? No.
Well, it's in such, it's like its own, it's a colony, I guess.
Oh, I don't, dude.
Because it's completely independent.
I feel really ignorant right now. I really, honestly, and genuinely have no fucking idea if Hong Kong, I thought Hong Kong was a city.
Hong Kong is like its own colony that's independent from China. So Hong Kong is like the U.S. inside of China, whereas the rest of China is communist. Hong Kong isn't.
Oh, I see. Good. Thank you, Ben, for clarifying that and teaching me something today.
So, Spain and Hong Kong, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Hong Kong. I've always wanted to have my voice heard in Hong Kong. I imagine they typed in something ridiculously perverted and they found us, because that seems to be how most countries find us.
You know what episode keeps getting a lot of views, though?
Which one is that?
Death by Underwear.
Death by Underwear. Interesting. I mean, maybe people are looking for instructions. We didn't give people instructions how to kill people with underwear in that episode, did we?
I don't
think. Good, then I think our hands are open in this.
It's that one in the Christmas episode.
Well.
Which wasn't a Christmas episode, it was just a Christmas episode, question mark?
Yeah, it wasn't really a Christmas episode. But, well, great. I don't care which ones they listen to. I'm just happy that people are listening. So, and you know how I know people are listening, Ben?
How's that?
Because of our first story. God, I'm getting so good at these. So our first story this week was sent to us by a friend of a friend who thought that I would like this, and they were right. The headline reads, Peaches Sold as Sexy Butts in China. I just love the picture. The picture, you really can't appreciate it without the picture, and I feel bad about that. This is very much a visual joke. Peaches have long been compared to backsides because peaches look like backsides. And now, thanks to fruit vendors in China, they actually look like butts because they're being sold as a novelty present. You buy a box of 9 peaches with little panties on, little sexy lingerie panties on, and it's $80 for 9 peaches dressed in lingerie underwear. Ben, you know a lot about putting fruit in underwear.
It's just a national Ohio pastime.
Yeah, that's, and you guys ship all of your... What fruit comes out of Ohio?
The,
Ebola?
Guacamole.
Avocado? The guacamole?
The guacamole said? Avocado. It's 2 things into one.
Ohio is known for its avocados, apparently. I did not know that. So what kind of lingerie does one put on an avocado? Like a nightie, I would imagine. You can't really do underwear, I don't think. But anyway.
Lace? I don't know.
Look, it's really funny to look at. I feel bad that this is a podcast that you can't see the picture of the underwear. What's amazing to me is that somebody is going to a lot of effort to sew little tiny underwears to put on peaches. Like, the detail on these underwear is kind of insane.
I thought they were just putting them on. I know they're actually sewing them on.
No, I don't think, they're sewing them on, but they're, they're making them specifically to fit the peach. It fits all the way around it.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, it's funny. Like, if I sent it to someone, I would, eagerly wait for them to open it so I could see their face. But, it's not worth $80 to me. Plus, I recently discovered that I'm allergic to peaches, so... That is a really, really big boner. But there are so many pictures, and it's really funny to me. I'm terribly amused, Ben.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one picture of one of the boxes of peaches, and it only has 8. So somebody either stole one or ate one, and that person...
But I like that. I like that box a lot better, because now it's like you've got the peach butts, in a bed. So it's even more erotic than if it's just in a box surrounded by tissue.
And it's getting huge mainstream coverage in China, which I guess doesn't surprise me at all.
I've heard before that you can buy women's underwear in vending machines in China.
I just hope that they're ripe.
But that was a good one, Ben. That joke didn't disgust me in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it was quite clever.
Huh. Well, I mean, if that's the way you want to market your things, I mean, it's definitely a step up above what other people are doing. It's creative, I'll give it that.
I mean, the only way you're going to make money is if you do something different. And, I mean, my hat's off to you. Very, very different. But, you know, the part of the article that's weird to me is that there are people who are mad about it because they think it's vulgar. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? The peach doesn't have a vagina. Fucking relax. It's a piece of fruit. No one's asking you to buy it. The country's not going to force you to buy some fucking underwear peaches to give to your daughter's 6-year-old friend at her birthday party. Like, just calm down, Chinese people. It's just some fucking underwear and a thong.
It's just a marketing gimmick.
Yeah.
We do the same thing in America. The exact same thing.
I mean,
we over-sexualize things, too. Yeah. And, I mean, if people honestly are getting bent out of shape about it, whether it's here or in China or wherever, I mean, come on, your country does it, too.
I mean, people in our country can blow it out their assholes because it has nothing to do with our country. So if people in our country are mad, they can go fuck themselves. It's not our business.
It's just a way to sell peaches, man. Farmer Joe's got to make a living somehow.
Just a way to sell some peaches that they found on the side of the road. They look like good peaches, but, you know, I can't imagine spending $80 on some peaches and some fucking peach. Because once you eat the peach, then what are you going to do with fucking peach panties?
Buy more peaches.
And then just constantly have them in panties? Now you're talking about something different, Ben. Now you're talking about a fetish. A peach underwear fetish. Or your whole house is just decorated in butts. And that's like your centerpiece, is a bunch of fake peaches that you always have in fucking underwear.
They have it in a mantle over their fireplace. I don't know.
Merry Christmas, Ben. It'll be the News Chew Company gift from me to you. Will be some underwear peaches that you'll...
Are we using company money for that?
Yeah, we're using company money. All of the company money.
You know, and I wonder if maybe this is a hot-selling market, you know, to get into.
I wonder if we should sponsor their business with a News Chew thong.
And, you know, we could hire somebody for that, too.
Yeah, we could hire someone in China to promote it, to promote News Chew.
Just like in story number 2.
Booyah.
Despairing parents take son to court to force him to get a job. This sounds like a good candidate already, Lou.
I think he's hired.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, so we'll call him Tom.
Oh, I can actually pronounce his name. Okay. From living in Seattle, I can actually pronounce his name. His name is Zhu King.
Okay, so Zhu King, he's 29 years old, has refused to work since leaving college. He basically said that, working life is too boring. His mother said... Well, not sad, but initially his mother, like, would cook for him and, you know, clean after, her, you know, their only child because of the one child law in China. His dad arranged for him to have a...
You just sort of snuck that in there on me. Very nice. Go on.
His dad arranged for his son to have a job at a friend's company, but the son quit after 3 months saying it was too dull. And now the son spends his days sleeping and surfing the internet, but managed to meet a girl online who is also jobless. He has now moved in with his girlfriend into the home that he shares with his parents, but he's demanding to be fed and waited on hand and foot. So now his parents have said, fuck it, we're taking you to court, you're getting a job.
Good.
Kind of funny this comes out of China, considering how, like, workaholic... Like, Asian countries are. I mean, that's not the stereotype. I mean, they just kind of are.
Yeah, it feels like a very American story, too. So I'm glad to know. Maybe it's just a big country problem. Maybe it's just an issue that you have in large countries where, because there are so many people and not enough jobs, and, you know, parents dote on their kids so much more. In my line of work, man, I see kids who are 35, you know, who are older than me, who are still on their parents' insurance policy. Like, it's weird. And so this feels very American. So I'm glad that China has to deal with that crap, too.
You know, and are the parents to blame here?
I think
they are.
I think they definitely have to shoulder a fair majority of the blame. They certainly are responsible for the attitude and for the lack of motivation.
Well, not only that, but they're enabling him to keep staying there until they took this ultimatum, which took them, you know, let's say he graduated at 22. It took him 7 years. And I understand sometimes you have to, you know, maybe you have to live with your parents for a little bit to get off of your feet.
Sure.
But, I mean, 7 years, and he's not even trying. I mean, if he was trying, it'd be a different story, but he's not even trying to find work.
I mean, this guy's only 2 years younger than me, and, like, when I was 29, man, I was, you know, I was busting my hump to pay the bills. And if you don't force the kid to have to pay bills or anything, then, yeah, the kid's going to be a fucking piece of shit. That's just reality. That goes for life in general. You have to let the kid know that there are consequences to their actions. This kid doesn't seem to have any... He also is part of the generation of false senses of entitlement. There's this thing where people think that they just deserve shit and don't want to work at it or do anything to make it happen. They're just like, I should get this because... And this kid is obviously... I shouldn't say kid. He's not a kid. He's a fucking grown-ass man. This grown-ass man needs to nut up and get a fucking job. And why would you want... God, why would you want to keep living with your parents? Good God, Ben, don't you want to move out of your folks' place?
I wanted to move out when I was 18.
You're goddamn right. You're goddamn right. You, yuck. Like, why would you make that your permanent base of life? Ugh.
I don't know. Like, I'll be 22 in a few months, and, you know, I'm heading into my last year of college, and then I'm out. I'm sorry. I've wanted for a while just to live on my own. I couldn't imagine. No offense to my parents. You know, no offense to living with my mom right now or when I lived with my dad in high school. No offense to them. But I'm just more of an independent person, and I just couldn't do that. So I don't know how this guy can. Like, you've got to at least hit some point in your life, I would think. Even if it's for a brief amount of time in your life, of that independence you want to live on your own and be able to make your own make your own choices, have your own responsibilities about things. You know, and having that sense of freedom. I don't know. I mean, I've always had that, and I figured everybody kind of goes through that kind of phase, but I guess not for this guy.
It's okay. There are appropriate times to live with one's parents. There are. And I never besmirch someone for having to do that. I did it. My sister did it. You know, I know lots of people who've done it, but there are appropriate circumstances for that happening. This is just a lazy sack of shit. Maybe they should just put him down. They do that in China, right? They just put people down?
Well, I don't think that would, you know, solve anything.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt anything either. I mean,
yeah, but
the online,
I don't know,
online girlfriend like, would be upset, but, you know. She lives,
how the hell does this guy get a girlfriend?
Well, she lives in the Pyongyang province, so, you know, it's hard to stay in touch. But they do okay through, you know, Skype and stuff. I made all that up. I have no fucking idea. I thought I read in there that he did have a girl. Yeah, he did. I read it in there. I know he does. And, like, she's homeless, too. Or, not homeless. She's jobless, too. She's a lazy sack of shit, too. And she's a girl. Double ouch in China.
So, basically, after they laid down the ultimatum of saying he'd have to get a job or move out, the parents were successful. And at the age of 29, his parents no longer had an obligation to support him, and it was their house they could also move him out of. And for 60 days after this ruling, there was still a stalemate between the dude and his girlfriend and his parents because they did not want to move.
Yeah, I mean, fuck this guy. I mean, what a piece of shit. Just go get a job, tell your parents, fine, I'll move out in, give me 3 months. Let me make some money so I can move out and get my own place. And just fuck them. You know, just that'll at least keep him off your back. That's what I would do.
And here's the thing. I still wouldn't have a problem with him living with his parents being 29 years old if he had a job or was at least actively looking for work.
No,
the fact he's not doing anything.
To me, that's almost worse. To me, that's almost worse. Because then you're just like, you're just usurping and like, yeah, you're saving all your money, hopefully. Hopefully you'll be saving all your money. But like, I don't know. Again, see, I'm a social person, so the thought of, like, not being able to just go, come and go when I want as a grown-ass man is really fucked up to me. Like, that,
well, I mean,
that just bothersome.
I mean, maybe he would do it to support his parents. I don't know what, but, I mean, it would at least be better if he was looking for work instead of just leeching off of work.
Well, of course.
But, I mean, either way, I mean, like you said, he's a grown-ass man. He should have a grown-ass man job and live in a grown-ass man house or apartment.
Yeah. You know who's who's a grown-ass man who has an apartment, probably?
Not that guy, but who?
The truck driver of our third story.
Oh.
This week in Indianapolis, a semi-trailer overturned on an Indianapolis interstate, spilling what police say is roughly 45,000 pounds of packages of butter and other various dairy products. Ben, was this an attack on lactose intolerance?
I think it was an attack on the dairy farms of America.
Indeed. Now, a lot of that dairy was probably pretty okay. If it was already wrapped up butter, that's salvageable. You don't waste that. Let's not be ridiculous, America. Let's not be prudes. It's probably fine.
It was an attack on bread.
It was an attack on
baked
bread.
Baked potatoes.
It was a stance of defiance against bread and bread makers, particularly J.P. Wonder and Associates over at Wonder Bread. I hope his name is J.P. Wonder. I don't think it is. I don't even think there's a Mr. Wonder.
There's Tony Wonder.
I don't know who that is.
From Arrested Development?
Oh, I do know who that is. Never mind. I know who that is. Silly me. Some lanes of the highway were closed for hours. They eventually used a small front-end loader to scoop the butter tubs and whipped cream containers into large trash bins, so they did not salvage the dairy products. So that truck driver probably does not have a job.
I mean, it's a slippery slope either way, whether or not he has a job.
That one was bad, but I still liked it. Now, there was some whipped cream in there, and I feel like if you have butter and whipped cream and you just leave them out on the highway for a long time, eventually what will happen is as people are driving, like when it gets hot in the summertime, the highway system is going to smell delicious.
You know what you could do with all that butter, though, is you could just go like sleds and just go sliding down the highway.
That would have been fun, probably. Imagine, though, like, as the butter seeps into the ground, and, like, in the summertime you go to drive over, and it's, like, hitting an oil slick, but it's the most delicious-smelling oil slick on Earth. It could become a tourist attraction. People would drive by and be like, oh, my God, you smell the butter? Oh. That's what I would do, probably. I drive down Butter Highway.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, if you got, like, a sled or something, I mean, not even a sled, but just like one of those plastic things, those plastic sleds you ride down your stomach, or you sit on.
Sled.
I mean, you're saving gas that way.
Your sled is only going to work for a stretch of road that's like probably only like a quarter of a mile. So like, you'd have to drive, use your sled to tow your car. Yeah, I don't think the sled's going to work, Ben. The only way that your sled theory works is if you throw it down a hill and you, like, lube up the hill with the butter.
I mean, the man fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
And, I mean, driving this huge semi full of 45,000 pounds of butter, did he not realize
Oh, you had it and you blew it.
God damn it. I couldn't think of how to say it.
You had the margarine pun. I could smell it in the air. And you, Benjamin... This is not your best, finest hour. Not even close. You had it.
I cannot remember how to say it.
You had us eating out of your warm, buttery hands. And you dropped the ball. Oh, Ben. The butter ball. You blew it, Ben.
I shamed my family.
You know who else? You know who else has shamed their family?
There's no margarine for error.
Oh, jeez. No, well, now it's worse because you went back and you tried to save the margarine joke. You can't salvage it, Ben. It's the Titanic. It's over. That was your Hindenburg.
That was my iceberg.
That was your iceberg right ahead. That was your Hindenburg. It was your 9/11, your Oklahoma City. It was all of those things for you. It's very terrible. A true tragedy in your legacy on this podcast. It was because it was going to be one of your greatest pieces of work.
It was.
It was. You had built it up so perfectly, and I could see it coming. You were coming, and then it was like someone put a steel beam over the train tracks, and you just derailed right off the train. Because you muttered the first part of the word, and then you just disappeared. There was just silence as you fell into the abyss.
I mean, looking at the highway, though, with all the butter on it, I mean, there's just Land O' Lakes right there.
Terrible. I hope that Land O' Lakes is a national butter chain, otherwise that joke won't land.
They are.
Oh, good. Then we're fine. I was going to try to segue to something else to spare you the pain of this, but you're going to go down fighting like a true champion.
I mean, I was on a roll.
You were on a roll. Oh, jeez, I walked right into that one. I walked face first into it and repeated it perfectly, and then I just had my Hindenburg by repeating your fucking pun about being on a roll. Son of a bitch!
I just do what I can, and sometimes it just sets me up for failure.
Just terrible, man.
I mean, I don't want to keep trying to make these errors, because then I'll just spread it around.
You're the second worst person I know right now. You know who the first person is?
I don't know, but it butter make me laugh.
Oh my god. It's way better than you think it is. I can't even believe it's not better.
Florida?
Oh yeah, I actually can't believe it's not Florida. Our next...
I mean, but one more thing before we go on. This driver, though, has nobody to blame but himself. I just... Falling asleep, I guess he did fall at the wheel. I mean... America's dairy. I'm sure Wisconsin is weeping.
No,
at all of this.
Probably not, because there were probably like during the time they were cleaning up, there were probably like 2,000 other semis that went by carrying butter.
But that's just
it's cool.
It's a soldier down in the war.
Yeah, you lose a few battles, but you don't lose the war. It's cool. We'll survive, Ben. And that driver, he probably drives long hours. Don't be so hard on him, you cold, heartless son of a bitch. Truck drivers are national treasures. They're basically returning military. Just way out of shape and way worse people. Way worse people. I don't know any truck drivers, so I don't know why I'm saying these terrible things about truck drivers. I'm trying to get us to another story, Ben, and you just won't let me. Between butter puns and wanting to scold a truck driver that you'll never meet. Are we okay to move on to a lady who tried to kill people through Coca-Cola cans?
Yeah, but I mean, I really hope that truck driver gets butter soon.
Are you happy now?
Yes.
Have I
ever redeemed myself in any way, shape, or form?
No, you're just making it worse. Because what you've done is you're Eddie Murphying right now. You reached a peak where you couldn't possibly get any higher, but you kept trying, and all it did was just make it just progressively worse over time until we got to that last one, and it was The Adventures of Pluto Nash. And it just...
Jesus.
Just the end of days for you, my friend. You just dug it. You just couldn't let it go. You know what? You got a new crack at it. This one could have plenty of pun potential too, pal. That one... Ben, the only reason we did the butter story was because we said beforehand that it was going to be Pun City, and it almost was. You tried, but...
It was like Pun Township.
But you know what? Maybe it's the Coca-Cola one. Maybe you needed to get it out of your system. So enough jabbering about it. Let's just get to it. Coca-Cola recalls 2 million bottles of Coke with the name Michael. The reason why will shock you. Now, if you don't know, Coca-Cola is doing this weird campaign that I don't entirely understand, where they're putting people's names randomly on cans inside of 12, 24 packs, individual, 6 packs, whatever, however they're selling it. But a woman in Georgia, let me tell you what started happening first. Several customers returned their drinks, because the bottles with the name Michael on them had an odd taste. Ben, any any guesses as to what was in there?
I don't know, but they seemed really shook up about it.
Oh, see? You can redeem yourself. It was dirt, Ben. There was dirt in the Coca-Cola. Now, Bennett, you're a man who loves to put dirt into soda. Is dirt best with Coke or with a different type of soda?
I'd say, like, RC Cola. Coke, I mean, actually, I think it makes Coke taste better.
Well, apparently, a female employee who was claiming sexual harassment by her superior, who just happened to be named Michael, the superior who harassed her, she spiked large batches of the drink with topsoil she'd been bringing to work. What is the moral of that story? If anyone in America pisses off a woman who works at any of the breweries that I like, guess again, motherfucker. I will find you, and I will kill you. I know a guy who knows Helen Mirren, who knows Liam Neeson, who has a very special set of skills. And he will find you and kill you on my behalf. And Michael, stop sexually harassing ladies and ruining your business, asshole. Go, Ben.
Well, he just not only did he ruin it for his business, he ruined it for 2 million Michaels.
Yeah, that wasn't fair. Those guys were really looking forward to getting the can with their name on it. Or there was a Jonathan who was going to be deeply disappointed. Either way. When he got a 12-pack full of Michaels that were also then filled with dirt. And Jonathan just sat there and shook his fist in anger.
Or maybe there was, like, somebody's, you know, significant other that bought somebody named Michael some Coke, and they're like, oh, here's your favorite. Oh, it has my name on it. Cool. This tastes like horse piss.
Well, now, Ben, well,
granted,
that
is the natural taste of Coke.
I cannot confirm or deny, but I don't feel like Coca-Cola mixed with soil tastes like horse urine. I could be wrong. I have no experience in mixing Coke with dirt, nor do I have any experience with horse frothy horse piss. So, but based off of what I think I know, based off of the chemical texture and the chemical contents of both, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Coca-Cola with soil in it would probably taste more like badger poop. Or what else? What else eats shrubbery? Rabbit turds. I feel like the dirt would give it a more earthy feel instead of a more acidic, burny taste.
Well, maybe the fizziness in the Coke does that.
That's very possible. I really cannot confirm or deny. I'm just inferring that is the case. But
so what do they do with all the recalled Coke? Do they send it to the Arctic Pole and give it to the polar bears?
I don't know what to do with that. You know that polar bears are dying, right? It's probably because of the Coke.
Yeah. The Coke's like, we got a whole bunch of Coke over here, motherfucker.
No, they'll probably just destroy them. They'll recycle the cans. They'll just dump them out and recycle the cans.
They'll start selling them in Florida.
Yeah, they could do that. People in Florida never... Or Mexico. You know, whatever. Wherever you want to send them. I don't really give a shit. I'm not going to drink them. I don't drink regular soda ever, so I'm not worried about it.
But damn it, Michael, you had one job, and that was to not sexually harass your employees.
Especially the mentally unstable ones, who have access to dirt.
And damn it, person who put all that stuff in the Michael Cokes, you had one job, and that was not to put topsoil in the Coke.
Well, she failed.
What she could have done is, instead, is put Mentos in the Coke and seal the lid as soon as she
could. Well, but then that, you know, that might have impacted her job, because that could have flooded the whole building, and then she would have, you know, maybe not.
Not if she sealed it quickly enough.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, but well, then it's a bomb, Ben. Then she just created a bomb. That's not better.
What's worse, creating a bomb or poisoning people?
Dirt isn't going to poison you. What do you know about dirt, Ben? Tell me what you know about dirt. Dirt is not going to poison you. It just tastes terrible. You're not going to get poisoning from dirt. You might get a little sick from it, but it doesn't... It's not like you're going to die if you eat a bunch of dirt.
I'm just saying, though, there could be that one case out there, somebody who died from Coke soil.
You're really grasping at straws here, Ben.
I'm just saying, there's how many people on this earth? Like 8 billion. There could be one person that dies of coke soil.
I don't think so.
God damn.
I don't think that there is one person. I think there's zero people.
Okay, but how many people died from coke and Mentos?
That depends. Did they die from eating the Mentos and drinking the coke, or is it from the physical damage they caused themselves from putting it in 2 liters and then trying to smash it on the ground? Two different risks, you see.
Yes. Yes to both.
Oh, then I don't know. Probably a few. I don't think you die from the Mentos. Well, actually, maybe, yeah. If you ate mint Mentos and then tried to drink coke as fast as you could, you'd probably just puke all over.
What if you put your mouth full of Mentos and somebody just dumped coke in your mouth?
Oh,
what would happen?
It would probably not be good. I would imagine it would get up and come out your nose.
Would you die from that though?
Maybe. I'm not gonna try to find out. I'm really not that curious. I mean, I am curious. If somebody wants to do it and let me know, I'm not opposed to that. I'm not condoning it or saying you should. I'm just saying if you happen to do it, I'd like to know what the outcome was.
Yeah, so if anybody out there is willing to try this, please let us know, because we need to write this down for the record, see what happens from it.
Do you know what dilutes the Mentos, though, Ben?
Not, what?
Dirt. It really dilutes the Mentos, because it makes the coke like a sludge, almost. It's really, you know, it's good stuff. It was really good topsoil, too, in her defense. It was from, of the Grow Best line. It was really good topsoil. So, like, if you dump that coke out, it'll grow a coke tree.
So how many years until we start seeing coke flavored soil that they actually, like, artificially create?
Like when they do coke with lime?
Yes.
I don't think ever, unfortunately. I don't think ever, Ben. I hate to disappoint you and break your boyish, puckish heart. But I don't think they'll ever have coke with dirt.
They had green ketchup.
Yeah, but that was more a gimmick for the children. No one wants to drink. No one likes the taste of dirt. Ben, you think that dirt is poison. Why would you think that people want to drink dirt-flavored beverages? Again, what do you know of dirt, Ben? Are you familiar with dirt? Do you know where to find it if you needed to do research?
I don't really work outside, so...
Clearly. Do you think that dirt is like hot lava? Todd, tell me what you know about...
Well, hot lava's not poisonous. It just burns you.
I mean, it might be poisonous, but it's too hot for us to find out.
Fair enough. I mean... I don't know. We should do studies on that, too. Is lava poisonous?
I don't know. We'll ask my friend Charlie when he's on the show. He knows things about science and smarts. He might be able to tell us if lava's poison. But I know that sometimes in my house, I treat the cold floor of the bathroom like hot lava. So, you know, I think it's important to stay young at heart, Ben.
Yeah, because you have to jump over that, get onto the rug.
Damn right, to get onto Bill Murray telling me I'm awesome. You know the one.
That is an awesome rug.
Yeah. Nobody has a cooler bath mat than yours truly. Every morning I stand and brush my teeth, standing on Bill Murray pointing at me, telling me that I'm awesome. Good stuff. Anyways, you know who is not awesome? And I feel bad because he died. But
no, you...
our next story. And maybe final story, depending on time. But we may have a lot to say about this one. And this one is also just ripe with punnage. Car crashes into bee-infested abandoned house. Driver dies as rescuers were hindered by the swarm of bees. St. Charles, Michigan. A St. Charles man died Wednesday after his vehicle crashed into a vacant bee-infested home. 54-year-old man was driving west on Spruce Road. Nobody cares because nobody knows where that is. So he crashed into the abandoned house. Bees came flying out in a swarm. They believe that he crashed because of a medical emergency, but we don't know for sure. So, like, something happened. Maybe he had a heart attack and drove into the house or some sort of issue. But the house had not been occupied for many years, was all they said. And there were huge swarms of bees, so they were unable to get to him for a long time, and that poor gentleman died. Ben, we've had some interesting stories with cars, but never a car that crashed into a house, and then that house coincidentally is filled with fucking bees.
Yeah, and it didn't say whether or not he died from the bees or not he died from the medical emergency, which I'm assuming it's a medical emergency, which is what he died from. Otherwise, dying from bees, damn, that's gotta be a horrible way to go.
Well, Ben, when I was a kid, there was a movie that I know you haven't seen that was very important, and it taught me about death, and it involved bee stings. It was a movie called My Girl, starring Macaulay Culkin. And in that movie, he was allergic to bees, and towards the end of the movie, he gets attacked by a bunch of bees, and they sting him, and he dies. It's very sad, and as a kid, it was my first introduction to death, I think. At least that I remember. I probably saw Bambi in there, and there's death in there. Sweet, sweet deer death.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Tell me how you really feel about
Bambi. I actually have no issues with deer, but I do love deer meat. That's just a fact. Deer taste delicious. That's science. Don't be mad. So, can we go back to the fact that this house was filled with motherfucking bees? Who owns this house that it's vacant for so long that it is literally a fucking live honeycomb?
Well, you kind of just answered your question, though. It's a vacant house, so nobody owns it.
No, somebody owns it. Just because it's vacant doesn't mean it's unowned. Vacant just means that it's no one lives in it, and it is just a home that exists.
Well, you think the city would do something about it at that point.
Well, but how would they
know? Like tear it down.
Well, they will now, but how would they have known? If nobody ever goes in there, if the neighbors don't report anything, and like if the neighbors never noticed that there were tons of bees around, then how would they know unless someone drove their car into the fucking house? What are the odds of that even, too? That's the other thing. So let's say there is a random vacant home in a small town in Michigan. What are the fucking odds that a car would go crashing into the house that happens to be where the makers of honeycomb get all of their honey for their delicious cereal?
Or Honey Nut Cheerios.
Or they also sell some of that honey to Honey Nut Cheerios. It's just crazy. I mean, I feel bad that the guy died. That is very unfortunate, and I hope that he died from the medical emergency and not from the bee stings. So I would imagine if you had a heart attack, survived, and then got stung to death, that's like the biggest middle finger the universe can give you ever.
Like, I don't know what this man did in life that...
Well, actually,
life hated
I feel like
so
if there
much,
is
but...
a heaven, like, if you go through that, that's like a free pass. No matter how bad you were, like, you know, if you were the Boston Strangler and, you know, or the St. Charles Massacre man, I feel like you still get into heaven based off of this death. That's pretty gruesome.
And in this, I mean, 50,000 honeybees were killed because of this.
Which is bad because we're already losing honeybees at an alarming rate.
So, it's not a lighthearted story all around.
No,
it's pretty sad.
It was a real downer. When I sent Ben the stories I found this week, I even told him, I was like, my stories are a real Debbie Downer this week.
I mean, this one's a real stinger.
My response to that was to make weird animalistic bullcrap sounds, Ben. And then my dog just did it, too. I don't know if you heard that. That was really fucking funny. Then,
was it Dewey?
Yeah, Dewey just stretched after I just made those sounds. I just stretched and Dewey went, So he agrees, Ben. That sucks. Do better.
But you say all my puns are terrible, though.
They are, but sometimes they're well-timed and they hit me just right. That one was no bueno.
The singer wasn't doing anything for you?
No, it was a little ripe.
I don't have to tell you then. I tried.
You just gotta get some fresher material, you know? Maybe buzz around some comedy clubs, maybe zip in and out of a few podcasts while you're driving around. You know, things like that.
Oh. You're learning.
Mm-hmm.
I like this. You're learning.
You know, maybe you hide under the railing of my parents' deck and build a giant nest. I don't know what you do in your spare time, Ben.
No, that just sounds creepy.
That's what bees do. They're weird. They build condos in the deepest, darkest corners of your house.
It's
That's what they do. B condo.
That sounds terrifying.
Sounds like a horrible. It sounds like a cool name for a horror movie.
Wasn't there that movie, like, the bee movie or whatever?
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld was the voice of a bee. I don't think it was very good because you never hear about it. Like, in the pantheons of kids' movies, it's not one that you ever... Like, I never remember any hysteria about it. Like, I didn't see kids wearing bee shoes or anything like that.
I mean, what's the deal with bees?
Why did my movie fucking tank? It's probably because I got Renee Zellweger! Did she just suck on a lemon all the time?
What's the deal with lemons? I mean, are they sour or are they sweet?
They're definitely not sweet. But anyways, that was my Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, your Jerry Seinfeld sounded like, I don't know what.
It wasn't really very good. I don't do impressions very well. I do an okay Bane, and I do a pretty okay Batman, but only in short bursts. I don't do impressions.
God, I still can't get over Bane's voice.
Why? What's wrong with Bane's voice?
It just does not fit him.
I'm sure I don't know what you're talking about, Ben.
You also do a really nice Eric Young impression,
too. I do a really nice Eric Young impression.
Which, by the way, I found a video this year of him and his son, like, getting interviewed, and his son was talking, I'm like, okay, and then Eric Young Sr. starts talking, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, that is spot on.
The reason that I do, for those of you who don't know, we've tailed into some baseball chatter, but Eric Young used to be, he was a good baseball player. Eric Young was always a good baseball player. And then he went and became an analyst, I think, for the MLB Network, and now he's the first base coach for the Rockies. But Eric Young, he, like, has no neck. His head just kind of sits on his body. And so because of that, it impacts the way that he talks. So I do an Eric Young impression just by shrugging my shoulders up and making myself have no neck. And then the voice just sort of comes out of me because he also has a really nasally sounding voice too. So it just comes out. So all I do is I just shrug my shoulders and make a nasally voice. And there's my Eric Young. Hey, guys! Do you know I'm coaching first base with the Rockies now? Oh, my gosh! And it's also like a little John Travolta just to give it a little flair. I feel like he should say, oh, my gosh, more. Oh, my gosh!
Because it was the greatest thing going to that Rocky series, and then they were announcing like the lineups, and they said first base coach of the Rockies, Eric Young,
and Lou and I just looked at each other. I just thought that he wasn't an analyst anymore, so I didn't know what happened to him. And he's first base coach for the Rockies. Yeah, that was awesome. That was very exciting for me. But yeah, that's about the extent of my impressions, though. I can do good impressions occasionally, but they're all, you know, they don't sound. I never sound really like the people. anyways, that's all I got for this week, Ben. A nice clean, tight episode. We really went out on a bummer, but I think we saved it with whatever the hell we were just talking about for 3 minutes.
Jerry Seinfeld and Eric Young.
Sure.
And all my terrible, terrible puns. The one I had the holy grail of puns, and I fucked
Let's
it
real
up.
Quick before we go, let's recap what happened. You were building to it. You had a nice 30 to 35 second build-up to what was going to be your greatest pun, because I could see it. I could feel you building towards something. Like, you had already thought out the joke, the pun end of the joke, but you had to get there. So you were building up steam, building up steam, building up steam, and you said the word Marge, and then you stopped. Margarine was coming out of your... It was going to be a margarine joke, and you dropped it, and you just were silent. I thought I lost you.
You did. You lost a part of me.
And then
today.
You blew it. And then you couldn't get it back. And it was going to be the one. It was going to set in motion a chain of events that we'll never know, because you could have gone on the greatest pun roll in history after that, because you were going to just punch the peak of the mountain right in the teeth. But instead, Ben, you just sort of. Well, you farted, basically. You got to the punchline of your joke and you got scaredy farts.
I choked.
On scaredy farts. But anyways, I was flawless as always, so there's that. except for the intro, then the next part after that, and then most of the middle and all of the end. But otherwise, I was flawless.
Let's not be too humble here.
Oh, well, you know, when you've got it, flaunt it.
I think that's it for us for this week. So.
It doesn't have to be.
Lou, do you want to tell the people where they can find us?
I would love to. You can find us on Facebook at The News Chew. That's it. No, nothing fancy. And then you can also find us on Twitter at The News Chew. Let's see. You can email us at isitthenewschew@gmail.com, right?
No, it's NewsChew with Ben and Lou.
There you go. NewsChew with Ben and Lou at gmail.com. I also, just a real quick announcement. I can't say too much, but we are looking at starting a few other podcasts and having our own little network. It's just very early. We're just sort of starting to talk about it, but it's very exciting. So we'll have more news on that as it develops. Ben, any final words?
There's no margin for error here.